more involved in that. But the beginning place of all that we're trying to do is to create within us a heart of thanksgiving and the ability to look up to the God of heaven and say, God, I am really, really thankful. Now, the application of that gets even farther than the ability to look up to God. And that's really the part, the focus of this lesson is Paul says, Philippians 1:3, I thank God when I think about you. And so it's not only vertical, it's horizontal. And that we ought not to be able to say, I thank God, but we ought to be able to say to each other, thank you. And there ought to be a feeling of gratitude in our heart. Look at how Paul describes his life in Philippians chapter 4, the verses that were read earlier in this service today. When he says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. One translation says it perhaps even clearer. We'll understand this. Don't worry about anything. Don't be filled with anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. And here's this matter of giving thanks. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so, in verse 6, you've got this attitude that Paul expresses whenever he writes to this church. And by the way, he writes this letter from the middle of prison. And it's one of those prison epistles, but there's not an epistle in the Bible that has more joy in it and more thanksgiving in it than that which Paul wrote from the middle of a dungeon. You've got to understand that. And so he says, in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look at verse 6 and say it this, and think about it in this way. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And then having said that, he talks about the fruit of what happens when thanksgiving is a part of your heart and a part of your life. There is a peace of God that nobody on this earth is able to understand. It surpasses the ability of even ourselves to understand the peace of mind when we prayed and really cast all of our burdens upon Him, and nobody will be able to understand it. It will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8, he doesn't get away from this, but an amplification and based on this attitude when he says, finally, brethren, we need to meditate on some things. And instead of our lives being characterized by meditating on and being wrapped up in the things that are secular, that will choke the very Word of God out of our lives and dealing and focusing our lives only on things that are secular, not necessarily sinful, but just secular. He then talks about some things that we ought to be thinking about, and that is things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, then meditate on these things. Let your life be focused on these things. Now, what I want to do is to get to verse 9, because Paul says to the church there, I have preached there, I've been there among you, and the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do these things. Can you imagine what it would be like to just peep over Paul's shoulder throughout all of his life? Here's what he says. He says to those Christians up there in Philippi, I've been up there, I established the church there with the jailer and with Lydia and her household. And while I was there, you saw me do some things. And whatever you saw me doing, that's exactly what you need to be doing. As a younger preacher, and even as an older preacher, sometimes I think of what, I get jealous of Timothy and his ability to be able to be around Paul and to see it lived in Paul's life. You know, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been with Paul as he was there in prison or at other times whenever Paul was would you like to have heard Paul pray? You know, do you think you could have learned a little bit about praying if you'd heard Paul pray? And so Paul says to the Philippians, you've seen my life and you've heard me and you've learned things from me. And those things that you have heard of me and seen in me, These are the things that you ought to do. Was Paul thankful? If we're going to talk about in everything give thanks, and I thank God for you, was Paul characterized by having the ability to be thankful? You know, to the church at Corinth, he says a very similar thing whenever he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye imitators of me, the King James says. The New King James says, you imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And so there Paul preached in Corinth for 18 months. And as you think about him preaching there, wouldn't you like to have been there and to see what his life was like? I want to let you look over his shoulders for the next few minutes. And I want to read to you some verses. And as you read these, as we read these verses, and as we look at them, I want you to imagine you're watching Paul as he writes these things. Now remember, he says, now this is what you would have seen in my life. And so what he's writing is what he did. And I want to emphasize to you how much Paul was thankful. He was thankful in everything. He really was thankful in everything. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. And so we're taking that as the beginning of our lesson and pointing out first that gratitude's got to be given to God. Let's look over Paul's shoulder. To the Romans, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Would you like to have heard Paul pray? And can you not hear Paul as in his prayer he says, I thank God for those Christians at Rome. But that's not the only time he said that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Where to the church, not at Rome, but to the church at Corinth, look over his shoulders and think about what he did in his life. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and knowledge. Paul said, look over his shoulder, be with him in prison, be with him in his prayer life when he's not in prison, and hear him say, I thank God for the church, for those brethren at Rome. And I thank God for those brethren in Corinth. And then a verse you may have heard, Philippians chapter 1, to the church at Philippi, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul, how often are you thankful? Every time I think about that jailer, every time I think about the household of that jailer, every time I think of Lydia, every time I think of her household, every time I think of those individuals who were a part of that church, every time I think of them, I thank God for you. Thankfulness. When he writes to Thessalonica, to the church at Thessalonica, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you. Would you like to have heard him pray? Thank you, Lord, for the church at Rome. Thank you for the church at Corinth. Thank you for the church and those brethren over there at Philippi. Thank you, Lord, for those brethren there at Thessalonica. He says, I am thankful to God for you. There's a personal letter that he writes to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. You want to look over his shoulder? You want to understand and imagine the impact that this letter had on a young man named Timothy? Young people, think about this. Chad, think about this. Suppose the Apostle Paul had written a letter to you, and he said, every day, And every night I'm praying for you. Now, you young people, put your name in that illustration. Imagine the Apostle Paul, as he says, in the daytime and at night, I'm praying for you, and I thank God that I know you. But there's a personal letter to Philemon. Philemon, the book describes a runaway slave that is being returned to Paul. The runaway slave is Onesimus, and he carries this letter back with him when he goes back to become Philemon's slave again. And Paul says to Philemon, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Look over his shoulders. Listen to him when he prays. Thank you, Lord, for the church at Rome. Thank you for the church at Corinth, for the church at Thessalonica, for the church, for the Philippian church. Thank you, Lord, for Timothy, and thank you for Philemon. Gratitude within his heart. And when he began to think about individuals, he not only thought horizontally about them, but he thought vertically toward God, and he said, I thank God for you. To the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of your love for all the saints. I'm wondering, brethren, if it would not do us a world of good to be in that dungeon with Paul and hear him pray. I wonder if it would not do us good to imagine what it would be like to know that somebody like the Apostle Paul is praying for me all the time, and that whenever they think about me, they think about what has happened in our lives together and the faith that I have, and that they're praying that my faith might be stronger and that I might do more for God. We look at 2 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2 when he says, We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father. I thank God, he says. And by the way, if you want to know where Paul was from, he was from the south. If you'll read that verse real slow, you'll see it. We give thanks to God always for y'all. So just keep that in mind as you mock those of us who talk with a southern accent. Chapter 3 of this same book, Paul again says, for what thanks can we render to God for you for the joy with which we rejoice for your sake? Imagine looking over the shoulder of the Apostle Paul. And whether the other time in the letters to Thessalonica, this time the second letter, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Gratitude. Thanksgiving. Now quickly, understand that the first gratitude is toward God, and then that gratitude is toward others. Look back at those verses again. To the Romans, he did not just say, I thank my God for you, but I thank God for your faith. Is there somebody in your life whose faith has been remarkable? Is there not a place in your heart and in your life for you to be able to say to somebody else, I thank God for your faith? Just being around you and beholding your faith makes my faith stronger. I thank God for your faith. Look at that verse in 1 Corinthians. I thank God always concerning for you, which was given to you in Christ, that you were enriched in everything. Are you thankful that God's grace has been shown to others? Is there somebody who in their life has manifested such an attitude of response to the grace of God that whenever you're around them, you just marvel at the growth that they've made from the time when they became a part of the church and to where they are right now? Don't you think it'd be good if you'd express that gratitude and to let them know, I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful that God's grace has been bestowed upon you. In 2 Thessalonians, where we looked in chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, I'm thankful that you are growing, that the love of you, of every one of you, abounds toward each other. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know that individual whose love is abounding and it reaches out and touches the lives of others? And wouldn't it be great if you could say to that individual, I thank God because of what I see in your life, and I can see Christ manifested in your life. Look again when he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul said, being around you makes me happy. And I know that there are tears and I know there's adversity in your life, but you need to understand the joy that you're bringing to me. Imagine Paul saying to you, I'm glad you're my brother. I'm glad you're my sister. And what a joy it is to have you as my brother in Christ. That's what Paul did. It's not just thankful to God. It's the ability to look out and to say to others, and I am thankful for you. Look again. To Philemon, he says, I'm thankful for your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord and toward the saints. Not just a Sunday kind of Christianity that's only there whenever they're in the presence of God, but when they're in the presence of others, there is that faith and that love that they have toward others. Look again in Colossians chapter 1 where he talks about the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. I'm thankful that I can look at your life and the changes you've made in life, and I share in the hope that you have for heaven. And I want you to know that I'm thankful for that. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 where he talks about, I'm thankful for you, brethren, for your work of faith and your labor of love and the steadfastness that you have. Is there somebody in your life that you ought to be able to say to them, I'm thankful that Christianity in your life is something that's active. It's not just faith and hope and charity. It's the work of faith, the labor of charity, and the patience of hope. It's reality. I'm thankful that Christ is real to you. Folks, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? Look again in chapter 3 of this same letter whenever he says, when I remember you, I remember that joy, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake. You have brought such joy in my life, and I'm thankful. And then finally, again from chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, where he says, I'm thankful that you were sanctified by God and that you were called to be a child of God. I'm thankful. You see, we need to develop the ability to express gratitude. And for the next several weeks, as we look at this memory verse that says, in every remembrance of you, I thank God. We want to encourage a time of expressing gratitude. Those of you who are on the end of the pew, grab one of these white cards that's there and one of these green slips that's there, and let's talk about it. Pass those down the aisle so that everybody will have access and they can see what we're talking about. But don't you think it'd be good as a congregation that we took time to say to other people, I appreciate you. And so we have devised a method and a way that will encourage each one of us. It's called an appreciogram. Put that in your computer and see it, and do a spell check on it. And then add it not to your computer, but to your life. And so what we want to do for the next several weeks is to encourage every one of us to write a card of thanks but not just a card. As many cards as there is within your heart and time within your life to thank God. Now, we've talked about some major things. But just look around this auditorium. Are there people sitting around you that you really, that you're glad they're there? Gorman, every Sunday, I'm glad you're here. I've got somebody to pick on in my sermon. I may have never said that to you, but now I've got a method to send you an appreciogram and say, I appreciate you. I appreciate those of our ladies who sign. I appreciate those men who are ushers. I appreciate those who prepare the Lord's Supper. I appreciate our song leaders. And then you stop and think about it. I appreciate my children. I appreciate my father. In fact, I don't know that there's a brother or Christ in this church that every one of us ought not to be grateful for. That's why this other list is there. This green piece of paper has within it the names, if our computer records are right, of every member of this church. And what I want to ask you to do is not just pick out those who are highly visible and that you would immediately think of. But you remember the widow with her two mites and her insignificance in society. You remember Jesus talking about those who are the least in the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things we simply do not want to happen is whenever we arrive here or whenever these appreciograms are delivered in whatever form, we'll talk about that in a moment, that everybody gets one and I don't get one. Nobody appreciates me. And all of a sudden I'm going to leave the church because nobody appreciates me. Now, I recognize that there are those who are appreciated more than others. But what I think we need to do is, and that's the purpose of this, is to encourage you to look down this list and find those names whom you appreciate. I really would like to think that over the next 4 weeks that there would be those individuals who would write a card to every one of the 200 plus names that are on this list. It doesn't have to be long. But here's a name down here that I may not know for sure who they are, but I thank God for them. And I don't necessarily have to specify anything particularly that I might know about them, but if I do, it does not at all hurt to specify. I looked down at the list as I was talking. There's the name Dorothea Brown. Who on earth is she? A new convert? A name that probably nobody knows? But you see, she touched my life. She's the oldest person I've ever baptized into Christ. If Dorothea were here, and she's not, and she's on up in years at 95 years of age, but you see, somebody had to carry the chairs up these steps over here to get her up into the baptistry. I thank God that Richard, as much as anybody, and Josh helped carry that chair up there. You see what I'm talking about? I thank God when I see a young person walking around and there's some trash on the floor and they pick up that piece of trash. And I need to say to that person, I'm thankful for you. Now, the process by which this will happen, and when I finish this, the lesson will be over. The cards will be written to and from. By Wednesday night, we're going to have a mailbox out in the foyer. And so if you'll come and drop however many cards you've written and put them in the mailbox. If you want to get here early Wednesday and sit down and write 30 cards, wonderful. If you want to stay late today and write cards, wonderful. If you want to take a stack of cards home, wonderful. There are cards on the end of every pew, and the question that David and I struggle with is, how many cards do we print? How thankful will we be as a church? But there are over 4,000 cards in this building right now. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could write 1,000 cards a week as a congregation? But if you talk about 10 people writing everybody that's on this list, that's 2,000 or 2,500 cards right there in and of itself. And so what we're going to do is to be able to express gratitude to each other. That's exactly what Paul did. That's exactly what he did. When was the last time you said to some person, thank you? It's a part of Christianity, and I want you to know it was a part of Paul's life. I just cannot imagine, having read all these verses from Paul, that he did not verbalize thanks to individuals. So we've got 30 cards, 50 cards on every pew, and so take what you need. There are more cards out there on the welcome desk. Grab whatever cards that are there and force us, give us the joy of having to print more. And by the middle of December, whenever this program is finished, let's see if we cannot ensure that everybody on this list has received not a card, but several cards. Now the flip side of that is, if somebody gets more cards than you do, will you say to them, I thank God that people love you. You can think more than me. I thank God that people love you and that they've expressed their gratitude to you. Let's try this and see if this doesn't bring us closer together as a Christian. If it meant something for Paul to say to Timothy, all day and all night, I think about you and I thank God every time I think about you. Think about what it will mean when the godliest people that we know on earth say to us, I appreciate you, I thank God. Look at the card. The name goes on one side and the words go on the other side. And the very design of that is so that nobody will be reading your mail, but that the cards will be there. It'll just be laying on a table for you to come in and pick up next Sunday. Next Sunday, you can be able to get your first cards. And if you're worried about not getting any, write one to yourself. I don't believe that's going to happen at all, but I just had to throw that in and make that. Now then, could I tell you something I would appreciate? I would appreciate somebody stepping forward or several bodies stepping forward that will say, I'll stay Wednesday nights after services and sort the cards. What? The youth group is going to do this. I was not aware of that. I appreciate the youth group, okay? Thank you for stepping forward at your commander and double commander's volunteering of you in relationship to this. Seriously, it's that kind of attitude that makes this church what it is. Could I mention one other thing I appreciate, then we'll conclude the lesson. I appreciate our deacons. The deacons and preachers met Friday night starting at 7 o'clock to talk about the program for next year. I appreciate the elders here who were there serving the food for these deacons. I love servants' hearts. And when elders wash feet, I appreciate it. Well, I want to publicly thank every deacon in this church for what you've done for this church. And for those of you who met here at, actually we started at 6:30, didn't we? We met at 6 and we're supposed to start meeting at 6:30. And we did not finish Friday night until 10:30. 4 hours talking about where does this church need to be in this next year. And a commitment that those deacons made to make a difference. I appreciate these deacons. And then on Saturday morning, starting again at 8, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the deacons had spent another 6 hours talking about this church for this next year. And when the elders arrived, the deacon said to them, "We are committed to this church for making a difference." And explained to the elders that we are going to do deacon's work so that you can be free not to serve tables, but to devote yourself to the Word of God and prayer and do the spiritual things inside this church. I have never been more encouraged about the future of this church than I am right at this moment. And I appreciate elders who say to the deacons, "Do your work so we can do ours. We trust you. And we ask you to commit yourself to do these things." And I appreciate those deacons who said, "We're going to throw our heart into this work like never before and make a difference." I thank God. We come to that part of a service where we provide opportunity for individuals to become children of God, to be thankful that you can be saved. Because you see, I can be thankful that He saved me if I believe in Jesus. But Mark 16:16 says, if I don't believe in Him, I'll be damned. I can be thankful to God that He saved me if I've repented. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says that. I can be thankful to God that He heard me when I confess Jesus as the Son of God and the promise of Jesus that He'll confess me before the Father, Matthew 10:32. And I can be thankful to God that I not only know the words of Jesus, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, I understand it, that the water that's in that verse is baptism. And I'm thankful that I've been baptized and my sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful that He added me to the church, to His family, to the kingdom, you know, to the household of God. And I'm thankful that I can live faithful unto death. If you cannot be thankful that you've done these things, then you need to come down these aisles right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?